Right. The scripture this morning is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, and it is titled, The Year of the Lord's Favor. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will renew them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people that the Lord has blessed. I will delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and a bride adorns herself with the jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations.
Thank you, Scott, for reading scripture for us this morning. Now, Scott reminded me this morning that this was a passage of scripture from our Every Man a Warrior book, which we're going through, so now I planned the sermon a long time ago, so that's a good coincidence, but I don't really believe in coincidences. All right, I guess I'll be preaching this way this morning. That's where most of you are. I'm just kidding. Okay, well, Happy New Year to everyone. This is our first Sunday in the new year, which is exciting, which means that the first Sunday of the new year, I preach a sermon, which I call a vision sermon, which is just kind of where I see as the pastor of our church, we are going in the new year. So this is a pretty important sermon, so hopefully some people who are not here with us this morning are listening to this recording. Hello. We miss you. We wish you were with us, but we hope that you're doing well. And we will encourage those who are not with us this morning to listen to this sermon via the recording. So last year, on the first Sunday of 2023, I stood here in front of all of you, and I preached a sermon which I had titled Restart. Now, I don't know if your memory goes back that far or if you even remember my sermons a week after I've preached them, but that one was a year ago. And, you know, that word restart that we focused on, I would say we have successfully accomplished. Last year, we restarted many things that we used to do as a church. It has been a joy to restart those things and to see some of the life that we used to see in our church come back. Now, many of those things, you know, the yard sale, other events that, you know, we used to have as a church that we've brought back, Easter egg hunt, you know, we didn't need to reinvent the wheel. All we needed to do was just to go back to what we used to do as a church. Now, recently, I heard a statistic from the Pew Research Center, which focuses on data surrounding churches through polls and other things. And this statistic really struck me, and it's kind of not a happy statistic. The statistic is that 80% of churches in the United States are plateaued or declining. So either they've stopped growing or they are shrinking. Now, every year, I have to submit an annual report to the denomination about our church. Now, this is one of the things that as a pastor, you don't necessarily see that I do. One of the things that I actually kind of enjoy doing as a more administrative person. But at the end of that document that I have to fill out, there are four words with a blank space next to each of them. And I am supposed to place a check next to the word that I think best fits our church. So those words are growing, healthy, maintaining, or declining are the four words. Now this year, I am proud to say that I checked the healthy space, which hopefully you agree with that analysis, looking at our church over the past year. Chris is giving me thumbs up. Christine is putting his hands down. I think as we look back over the past year, we have a lot to celebrate. And Tammy, not to put you on the spot here, but you're putting together a slideshow of pictures from the past year that I hope will reflect a lot of the things that we've seen happen over the past year. We are no longer a plateaued church. We are a healthy church. And though there's not many of us here this morning, weather is a factor in that, certainly, we are beginning to grow. And not just in numbers. You know, I don't want this to just be, we're growing in numbers. You know, our attendance has gone up over the past year. Our membership has gone down, but that's because we had a lot of people on the membership that no longer attend. Anyway, more importantly, we are growing spiritually. We are growing closer to God, and we are growing closer to each other, which is really more important than numerical growth ever could be. And so we should be excited about that. You know, that's what we should celebrate. So let me pray for us this morning. And then we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture. The one that Scott read for us this morning will be our passage. And then we'll talk about what our vision for this coming year, 2024, will be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning just for the joy of what we celebrate. Father, what we've seen you do in our midst over this past year, Father, we can take no credit for it. And so we thank you for all the answers to prayer that we've seen, God, all of the things that we've done. God, may we have done those things for you, and may we continue to do those things for you. God, we do these things for your honor and glory and not for ourselves. And so we boast in you this morning and not in ourselves. And God, may you honor that. And so we pray, God, that you would speak to us through your word this morning. We pray that you would speak to us this year through your word. As we grow closer to each other and to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 61, the passage that Scott read for us. If you're grabbing a church Bible, it's on page 529 of the church Bibles. Hopefully that matches up with the one that you're using. Today's passage I've split up into three parts that we'll be looking at. First, we'll talk about a renewed appreciation for Jesus in verses 1 through 3, 3a, the first part of that verse. Then we'll talk about a renewed call to action, 3b, second part of that verse 3 through verse 6. And then finally, we'll talk about a renewed promise to claim in verses 7 through 11. Now, if you remember that restart sermon from last year, we were also in the book of Isaiah. And we're really just jumping into a book that we haven't been spending much time in. So we need some context about what's going on here in Isaiah. At this point in the book, Israel has been freed from their captivity in Babylon, which is, as I often talk about, a very important time in Israel's history. They've been freed, they've been allowed to come back, And they were exiled there in Babylon as part of God's justice to them for their continued rebellion against him. Now they are returning home once again. God has delivered them and allowed them to come home. And this passage, as Scott read for us, is really a passage of hope for them of what is to come in their future. Now, moving into that first point for us this morning, we spent most of last year in the book of Matthew. And so in these first three verses of Isaiah 61, it should be abundantly clear to us who is speaking to us through these verses. This is Jesus speaking. This is the passage that Jesus read from Luke in Luke chapter 4, where it says this: "He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.' So Jesus himself pointed to Isaiah 61 and said, 'This is talking about me.' Now, we know this because the Spirit rested upon Jesus when he descended from heaven like a dove onto Jesus at Jesus' baptism in the Jordan. Jesus is the anointed one. Now, the word Messiah simply means anointed one, and Jesus was anointed a few times by people in his ministry, symbolizing that they recognized who he was. Jesus proclaimed good news to the poor, one of the most important things that he did. He told them that life did not consist of an abundance of possessions, and that it is difficult for the rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus bound up the brokenhearted. He comforted those who were grieving along the way. He even brought back to life the loved ones of some of those who were mourning, thinking that their loved ones were dead. He proclaimed freedom for the captives, released from darkness the prisoners, even freeing one man from his actual chains and freeing all of us on the cross from what we were bound to, sin and death and shame. And so this is what it means when it says that Jesus proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." God's presence has come to be with his people. He has come to save them. And so this was the greatest year ever. But Jesus didn't just come to proclaim certain things. He also came to provide certain things, as we see in Isaiah 61. He provides for those who are mourning by giving them, what does it say there? A crown of beauty instead of ashes. He gives them oil of joy instead of mourning. He gives them a garment of praise instead of despair. Now, those things sound really good, don't they? Jesus came to provide us a way from the bad into the good. In what world, really, does worthless, dirty ashes become a priceless, beautiful crown? In what world does that make sense? Well, in the world of Isaiah 61 and in the world of Jesus' ministry. Only in the world that God has created, only according to the plan that he ordained, and only in the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus proclaims and he provides, all of which goes to those who don't deserve it, but they receive it anyways. Now the first thing that I would say that we need to renew this year is our appreciation for Jesus. Now this passage in Isaiah reminds us of all that Jesus has done for us already. And also, in that sense, all that Jesus will do for us when he returns and comes again. And so the best way to start a new year, this is our first Sunday of the new year, the best way to start a new year is to start here, with a renewed appreciation for what Jesus has done for us. Because really, where else should we start from, right? Well, should we start from an appreciation for ourselves, you know, what our own accomplishments, all of what we have done for ourselves, right, what we want for ourselves? You know, when we sit down and we write out New Year's resolutions, right, is this where we start? By reflecting on what Jesus has done for us, right? Those things that I mentioned, appreciation for ourselves, our own accomplishments, those things, they will only ever give us more of the same cycle of disappointment, right? If we want something new, we begin with being reminded of what Jesus has done for us in the past, what he has proclaimed to us, how he has provided for us, and what he has called us to do and to be, all coming from a grateful heart of what Jesus has done for us. Because really, that is where everything that we do should flow out from. Every thought, every word, every action, if we start here with what Jesus has done for us, then we will find ourselves doing what Jesus did, wanting the things that Jesus wants, setting goals for the new year that align with Jesus' plan for the world. Now, there's no better goal for a new year than to become more like Jesus. Moving on to our next section for this morning, Jesus, he didn't just come to proclaim or to provide, he also came to call us to something. He calls us there at the end of verse 3 in Isaiah chapter 61. He calls us oaks of righteousness. Now that's kind of a weird analogy, right? What is an oak of righteousness? the things that should remind us of are a firm, strong, hardy, growing, vibrant tree, bountiful tree, that you just kind of stand there and you look at and you're just kind of impressed because, well, how does something grow to that size, right? How does something become that strong in the first place? When you look at it and you reflect on it, you're kind of impressed by it. This is what Jesus is calling us to. Being people who are firm, strong, hardy, growing, vibrant, and bountiful. Standing firm in the truth, in what is right, who are a planting for the Lord, for him, so that we might display his splendor. You know, when we become oaks of righteousness and people look to us, right, they give glory to God because they say, well, only in God could this person have become like this. See, Jesus has come to call us to something better. He came to call us to be great, to be people who stand for something and who bless those who are around us by pointing to the one who has blessed us in the first place. Now, in this passage, we've already looked at what Jesus has done, but Jesus isn't doing all of the work here in this passage. In verse 4, the subject shifts from Jesus to his people. Once the anointed one, the Messiah, comes, which he has already come, his people will continue the work that he started. And that work, it says, is the work of rebuilding and the work of renewing. Now, we have to keep in mind the context here that this is talking about the Israelites returning to Israel and to Jerusalem to rebuild and to renew their places, right? The ancient ruins, the places which were long devastated, their ruined cities, right? What was once grand and glorious, what was once prominent and influential, but is no longer, those places will be restored. To renew something simply means to make it new again, like it was just made. So not just Jesus' job, But in him, now our job is to also do what he did, to take what is wrong and to make it right, to take what is broken and to make it whole again, to take what has been devastated and to make it glorious again. This is what Jesus has done for us, and so this is what we do in our world. Jesus doesn't say this is what we should do. He says this is what we will do. This is our job as followers of Jesus. And Jesus just assumes that we will be doing it, to always be renewing both our own lives, but also those around us. Now, Jesus calls us to something even greater than this. Not only is our job to rebuild and to renew, our job, as it says here in Isaiah 61, is to be priests of the Lord and ministers of our God. Now, this points to our purpose in all of this, why we do what we do. We aren't just making things better for the sake of making them better. We aren't just making the wrong right for it to then just go wrong again. No, we renew because it is the work of ministry. Now, ministry is not just for the pastor. It's not just for me who is standing up here in front of you. It's for the priesthood of all believers. All those who make up the church are called to minister in their own way. Now this, if you're looking for, well, Tanner, what do you mean by ministry? Here is what the work of ministry is. See, ministry has become about so many other things that it is really not about. Ministry has become more about having a platform. And I don't just mean, you know, this physical platform here, a couple steps up from all of you. But also digital platforms, right? YouTube, Spotify, the radio, whatever it is, writing books so that people sell them and, or buy them and read them and think of you highly. Right? Ministry has become about, well, having the greatest amount of influence or becoming more about giving people what they want rather than about giving them what they need. If you want to know what the work of ministry is really all about, well, here it is. It is about bringing people from the old into something new. It's a really simple definition of ministry. It's about helping people to find renewal in their lives. Ministry is not about getting more people to follow you. It's about getting more people to follow Jesus Christ. And if they start following Jesus instead of you, then they will find renewal in their lives. Jesus will transform their lives. And all that is wrong in their life, maybe not immediately, over a period of time, maybe not completely by the end of their life, but they will start to find the wrong in their life being made right. The pieces will start to be put back together for them. So we don't just renew organizations or buildings or even just our church. We are in the business of renewing people, which we cannot do on our own. Ultimately, this work is not just up to us, which is why we are priests. Because a priest is someone who points people not to themselves, but to the one who can renew them. A priest stands in the gap between a person and God. And really, what the work of a priest, or at least what a priest should be doing, is allowing that person to have that relationship with God. Really, the priest should start to shrink out of the situation. Now, the second thing that I would say we need to renew this year is our call to action. This is our call to action, what we should be doing as a church. And this, what we are supposed to be doing, is renewing. Now, our last section for this morning, starting in verse 7, differs from the first section in the tense of what is being said. In the first section, it was, the Lord has anointed me. where the Lord has sent me, which is past tense. Starting in verse 7, we start to see that change. We start to hear the future tense, where it says, instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And so many of these things have already been fulfilled in this prophecy from Isaiah, because they line up so closely with what's going on in the first section. But there's also this sense that they will be fulfilled more fully in the future. Instead of shame, a double portion is promised to come. Instead of disgrace, there will be rejoicing in an inheritance. And even further than that, everlasting joy. Now, doesn't everlasting joy sound good to you? Now, the speaker who we've been talking about is Jesus, goes on to quote the Father here. He says, God loves justice and hates robbery and wrongdoing. God is faithful and will reward his people by making a covenant with them. God will make his descendants known. They will be seen and loved and find belonging. And all who see them will consider them blessed. Friends, let me remind you this morning that this is how God sees you. He wants to give you this reward, the reward that is a relationship with him. He wants to make you known. He wants to remind you that he sees you and that he loves you, and he wants to bless you. See, God knows what our greatest needs are, and he moves to meet them. He promises to give these things to us. Now, he wants these things for you, not so that you can boast in yourself, but so that you can boast in him and love him in return. God wants to meet all of your needs and so much more. So let me remind you this morning of what God has promised to you that we see here in Isaiah 61. Now, this quotation of God from Jesus shows us the why behind this entire chapter. God loves justice and hates robbery and wrongdoing. Everything that God does is ultimately an act of justice against wrongdoing. So justice being just God moving to undo the bad and to turn it into good, to make what is wrong and to make it right. God loves to make things right. This is his character, and he will do it for you. Now the speaker, who is Jesus, goes back to speaking in his own voice, one last time in verse 10, providing the example for how we should respond when God gives these promises to us. We should delight in him because he has given us a garment of salvation, and that garment is beautiful. He's given Jesus the garment of salvation because he has saved us, and Jesus then puts that garment onto us. Just like the analogy that's there, a bride and a groom getting ready for a wedding, really a beautiful picture. Another analogy that's used there at the end, as the soil makes the sprouts come up, and as the garden makes the seeds grow, so God will make righteousness and praise spring up among the nations. Now the big question, as we look at these final promises from this last section, is this. What if this were true of our church? What if this were true of our church? What if our church was a place where shame and disgrace were met with a double portion? What if our church was a place where everlasting joy was found? What if our church were a place where justice was found and worked for? Where people were welcomed into a covenant with God? Where people were known and blessed and loved? Where people delighted in God and rejoiced in him? Where righteousness and praise sprang up before the nations? Well, to that question, what if that were true of our church? I would say that it can be true of our church. And we should want it to be true of our church. In many ways, this is already true of our church. Maybe a better question is, how much more could it be? The third and final thing that we need to renew this year are the promises from God that we claim. This is what God has promised to us, Isaiah 61. But so quickly we forget about it. So quickly we go looking for these things in all the wrong places. And so we renew ourselves by remembering what he has promised to us. Now you might be thinking, well, you know, Tanner, this seems a little extreme when applying it to our church. You know, our church is much smaller than Jerusalem or Israel, the original intended meaning. You know, Tanner, our church hasn't really been devastated. You know, it's not like our church burned to the ground. Well, that did happen at one point, but not recently. It's not like it was destroyed and we had to rebuild it. It's not like things are all that bad, right? And that's right, you know, things aren't all that bad. But that doesn't mean we can't make it even better. Last year, we started the year with the word restart. This year, our vision for 2024, I would like to call us to a similar yet different theme, the word renew. So if you've been looking for a word for this year, I know some people pick a word. This is my word for the year, personally, in my own life. Here's one for you. Renew. We've already restarted many things as a church, but now it is time to renew them. It's time to make them even better. This year, we will build upon the foundation that we laid in 2023 and move on to bigger and better things. Now, by bigger and better things, I don't mean what that usually means for people. By bigger and better things, I mean making our church more of what God wants it to be. So how do we do that? Well, I would point us to these three things, starting by renewing our appreciation for Jesus and what he has done for us, responding to the call to action that God has given to us, and third, reminding ourselves of what God has promised to us. Now, what better way is there to start a new year than by reminding ourselves of these things? By reminding ourselves of the covenant that God has made with us. And so next week, we will take communion and we will covenant together to this end as we covenant with our Father in heaven. So as we look forward to this next year, let's serve in ministry together. Let's love each other well as we focus on that word, renew. Let me pray for us as we close. Father, may this be true of us. Father, may we be reminded this morning of all that you have done for us, all that you have promised to us. And may we, in this next year, work to make this more of a reality in our lives. Father, we dedicate this next year to you, because really it's yours in the first place. And so may your will be done in us. May we listen, God, for your voice. May we follow in your leading in our lives and in our church. And may we see these things that we've talked about this morning become true of us. Even if they already are true of us, God, may they become more and more true of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.